Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power, but more than mind power, which is extremely important. We're going to be talking about communication power. For those of you who listen to the show, you know that it's part of what we do on radio. We have to use words like a paintbrush. We need to be able to convey through the voice, through sound effects, whatever we're going to be utilizing, what we're trying to get across to you so that you can get a picture that allows you to resonate with whatever is being shared on the air. This is something that my guest today is going to be talking about, and her book, Well Said, is all about doing presentations and having effective conversations with people that, in her words, get results. And contrary to many people's attitudes and opinions, electronic technology doesn't do it in the way that you expect. And so I want to welcome to the show today Darlene Price, because this is a woman that not only walks the walk of experience, she also knows how to talk the talk. Darlene, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. What a privilege to be here. Thank you for having me on the show, and may I say thank you for your wonderful work. I'm a big fan and follower.
Well, thank you, Darlene. Now, I want people to know that you are the president and founder of your own company, Well Said, Inc. Now, what you've done, you have developed this company because you find there's a huge, huge need for training and working with companies so that communication is far more effective among the executives and their employees, but also when you're in the environment of business. This is so necessary, and all of us can always improve our communication skills. And what I found in going through your book, Well Said, anyone can benefit from this book. You could be a teacher. You could be someone that is trying to communicate with your kids. I mean, there are so many excellent points that you bring out, and you've talked with people from different cultural environments around the world, and that's another aspect that you bring out in your book. Darlene, why do you feel you were directed or you found yourself evolving into this positioning? What's your background? How did you find yourself being the one to train and educate people?
Oh, what a thoughtful question, Donna. Thank you. Well, I have to go back a few years, several decades, actually. This was my biggest pain point, if you will, my biggest struggle growing up. My personality-wise, I'm an introvert. I came into the world as an introvert. And so growing up, I didn't talk a lot, and I had a couple of speech impediments. I couldn't say R's very well or S's very well, and I was, you know, extremely shy, and I had three older siblings who were marvelous communicators and outgoing and popular at school. And it came time for me to give an oral book report when I was in the 10th grade at 15 years old. And I thought my world had ended.
I can relate.
And long story short, my teacher, dear Mrs. Weaver, who was an instrumental mentor and angel in my life, I didn't know it at the time. I disliked her greatly at the time. But in hindsight, she forced me to give the oral book report, despite my attempt to turn in a written one instead. And it was a book report on Charles Dickens' Great Expectations. I was a good student, you know, I read, I enjoyed school, had to give the book report, walked to the front of the room when she called my name, note card shaking like a leaf in the wind, and I began, speech impediments and all. And within about 60 seconds, I heard a knock on the table in the back of the room, and it was Mrs. Weaver saying, eye contact, Darlene, eye contact, because, of course, I was staring at the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked up to say my first sentence, Pip, second or third sentence, Pip is the main character. And with that, all of the nervous mannerisms, which I had been experiencing thus far, pounding heart, not wobbling knees, sweaty palms, all disappeared because in just a matter of seconds, I passed out. And I ended up flat on the floor. I woke up to smelling salts in the guidance counselor's office, and the lunch bell rang, and Mrs. Weaver was right down there in my face with her finger pointed at me, and she said, "Darlene, you will never reach your full potential until you manage these fears and learn to speak in public." And that was a change, that was a real changing, that was a pivotal changing point for me. It was transformational. I didn't believe in me, but I saw in her eyes that she did. So I think it was Ralph Waldo Emerson who said, the best way is through. The best way around it is always through it. So mm-hmm. there was no getting around Mrs. Weaver, and long story short, a week later, she worked with me every day after school, and I managed to stay vertical and give this book report, and then it was off to the races from there. She convinced me it was an important skill set. She made me join the debate club, the drama club, run for student body council. Well, then all of a sudden, I learned that I can actually speak and that I live afterwards. And then I all of a sudden had friends and a bit of popularity, and people were beginning to speak to me in the hallway who formerly didn't even know I existed. And I went on to college and majored in it, and then started working for a training and consulting firm, designing training programs for them in the area of presentation and communication skills. Decided in the late 80s I wanted to, this is what I want to be when I grow up, so I hung a shingle on my door called Well Said, and started my company back then, and since went on to get a master's degree in adult education. But every day is a learning experience. You just don't graduate from this. I think the mm-hmm. key is just to learn that it's a critical skill set. Our voice, we are brought into this world for a reason. We have a voice. We have a purpose. We have a mission. And until we can move through those fears and have our voice heard, we haven't reached our fullest potential, in Mrs. Weaver's words. So she just lit my fire, put a spark under me, and really encouraged and inspired me to want to make that possible for other people. That's the origin of it. I've had hundreds of teachers and mentors in the middle, but she got the thing started.
Isn't it amazing how one person can have such an effect on people? And that is why I love doing this show, because there, every day, there is a story that I can relate to, or I have come across my desk that maybe somebody has written a book about, and their communication in the written word is absolutely paramount. And some of them are really, really, really skilled and very well polished, and others are sort of the down-home type, but it's the essence that makes a difference. And now this is something that when people start to do the speaking, and boy, I can relate to the nervousness. It took me years to learn that what I was feeling was enthusiasm, was energy, it was excitement. It wasn't fear. And we have this process that we need to go through. And I think one of the most significant stories I read when I was a teenager was about a very well-known entertainer. At this time, I don't even remember the guy's name, but he was a guitarist, and he would just become paralyzed. And all of a sudden, somebody came up to him, a member of the family, and they said, "You know, you are so good, but you are so stilted. You are just so isolated when you're up on that stage. I want you to pretend like you're in your kitchen at home, and you're right. sitting at your table, and you're playing to your mom and your dad." And he said, "What?" He said, "Forget. Don't worry about this audience here. You want to play. You want to give, because this is what makes your music so special." And after that, he developed a process where he looked out at people in the audience, and he found someone that either reminded him of his mother, his dad, his brother, maybe the dog. I don't know. But he focused on that. And when he would play, he then relaxed. He just felt like he was at the kitchen at home, and he did that. And the audiences loved this man. When he would play, he would play from the heart. And though he did not use words per se, which he did every once in a while, the music spoke for him. And I always, that stuck in my mind so vividly. Because when you are doing presentations, and I think lots of times people in business environments forget they're talking with people, for heaven's sake.
Yeah.
And I know it can drive an individual nuts who's in the audience trying to listen to someone. And they go, oh, my goodness, do I have to listen to the rest of this? Because there's this lack of communication. And this is something that you go into. But you have specifics. Let's talk about a business environment for just a moment. Someone that's wanting to make a presentation to a business group, to the CEO of a company, or, you know, whatever. And I'll let you design the scenario. Maybe use your words, decision makers. How do you go about preparing for that?
Well, let's say a decision maker, and this could be any walk of life, anyone you want to present a message to and have it stick. You know, one of my very helpful mentors and teachers along the way said that the purpose of any presentation is to persuade. Even though you may think it's only informational, ultimately you're persuading. The purpose of your investing the time to speak and share and spend time together is to alter their way of thinking, is to get them to do, say, or think something differently. So the building block is to say, okay, this is persuasive. So then we move into what I call the three D's of presenting. And the first D we want to think of is defining. So there's three things we define. The most important element of any presentation is the audience. So knowing the audience. So you define the audience. Who are they? What are their pain points? What are they expecting from me? And most importantly, how can I help them? And I find that when we move into the space of helping, of serving, of being on purpose, that's the number one way I have managed my nerves over the years, is just getting into almost a gift-giving frame of mind. Because if you think about giving anyone, a loved one, a gift, birthday gift, anniversary gift, you're not nervous. You're anticipatory and excited. You can't wait for them to open it. And so I like to think of my message as that. The audience, we're going to open this message together, and they're going to like the gift. So you define the audience. The second part of defining is defining the benefits. You know, what is it that your message does for them? Does it help them reduce costs, improve productivity, experience greater health or wealth? So really defining for yourself what the benefits are to that audience. And you'll know it's a benefit when it starts with an action verb. Improve, enhance, enlarge, expand, reduce. You know, and the book has over 100 action verbs that help you articulate the benefits. And the third thing we define, very importantly, is what you want out of it. You know, at the end of this presentation, what does Donna want from this audience? Or what does Darlene want from this audience? So that will be, do you want them to sign the contract? At the end of this presentation, I want my audience to recommend me, schedule a meeting with decision makers. So defining those three things, critically important as the building blocks. Define the audience, define the benefits, and then define the objective or the purpose, the action step of what you want out of them. That will give the presentation purpose, momentum, and an outcome. It makes it measurable. Then the second D after defining is moving into developing. That's where we roll our sleeves up, we pull out our toolbox, and we start crafting the message. Very simply, it has an opening, a body, and a close. So you develop a great attention-getting opener. And that can be, you know, we've all heard the word hook, some kind of attention getter, a grabber. It might be a shocking statistic or a personal story or a thought-provoking question. It could be a prop, a visual aid, a photograph you put up on the screen, something that makes you different, that grabs everyone's attention and say, ooh, this is different. So, and then, of course, in the opening, you'll have the hook. You'll have a nice self-introduction, and then tell them what you're going to tell them, as the old saying goes. Kind of set it up and let them know what you're going to be talking about. Then you develop the body. These, ideally, the body, three key points. There's a powerful phenomenon known as the rule of threes. People tend to remember in threes because we've learned in threes. So ideally, there's three key points or three key benefits that you lay out with supporting material. And then the close. You sum it up. You make a recommendation or a next step, and then open it up to Q&A, and of course end on a big thank you and appreciation for their time and attention. So that's the develop phase. Develop the opening, develop the body, develop the closing. And then that leaves the final D, the third D, which is deliver with impact and enthusiasm. And the delivery part is where, you know, it's all in your mind now. You've defined the elements, you've developed the content and the message. Now all that's left is to show up and deliver it with enthusiasm and authenticity. And, of course, that involves body language, voice, and audience connection. So those are the three Ds. And, you know, in the coaching and the book and the workshops and so forth that I conduct really are just going into detail into each of those three D's and optimizing each one for audience impact.
One of the components that is frequently used in presentations is PowerPoint. And this is something that can really be quite distracting. And I've known of speakers that have had PowerPoint presentations, and they just drove you up a wall because they gave the presentation, whatever was being shown up on the screen, they repeated it verbatim. They did not know how to use a PowerPoint presentation in an effective way, and I really liked something you said. You said the presentation is about you. You're the presenter. And that you'd had so many experiences where the electronic technology that you had wanted to utilize just died. Electricity went out, the machine, something in the connecting factor didn't work. I myself have experienced that. What you do, I always say, you punt. You just keep on going. You have to be prepared. I've had a microphone suddenly just disappear in a large group, and I'll say, well, that's it. The microphone goes down. And you project. Your voice is out there. You're the one that has to be smooth. You're the one that has to know how to keep on moving forward. And this can be, when it happens the first time, oh, my goodness, your mind will go blank. You'll go, oh, I don't have my tools. And this is something you bring out very, very clearly in your information on PowerPoint presentations. And this is something that I think is very significant. How do you use them? How do they serve you? And how do you, if you want to really engage your audience, black out the screen if you need to black it out?
Right. Yes. Very helpful point. The technology, I think it was Albert Einstein who said something like, it has become appallingly obvious that our technology has exceeded our humanity. The main thing to remember with PowerPoint is exactly what you said, Donna. It is that you are the message. The slides are simply support. And one litmus test that I do with the clients with whom I work is, can you tell me the story without slides? Because ultimately, the original, the primal, the primitive form of human communication is oral tradition, is storytelling. And so when we communicate in that form, first and foremost, we connect at a level, human to human, that does not occur with technology. So can you tell me your story? Can you tell me your presentation without slides? And we start with that. And if it's only 10 seconds on each slide, tell it to me without looking at the slide. That's the first thing I recommend, is be able to tell your presentation without slides. Now, when we go to use slides, there's a few key points to remember. First of all, is when you use them, I always recommend starting the presentation and ending the presentation without a slide behind you.
Good idea.
And the way you do that is you black out the slide. You know, maybe there's a slide up there as people are entering the room. It's the title slide, the company name, maybe a welcome slide, nice photo, maybe your name and title as the presenter. But then as you start the presentation, they make remote clickers now with a button on it that actually blacks out the slide. I recommend getting one of those. Or you can simply walk over to the keyboard and press the B key, B as in blank or B as in blackout. Press the B key. That's a kill switch for the projector. So it blacks out the slide. You can simply walk in the center and say, allow me to turn the slide off and just say good morning, everyone, and welcome. My name is Darlene Price. It is such a privilege to be here at XYZ Corporation. Let me share with you the purpose of today's presentation and what I really trust you'll get out of today. Blah, blah, blah. And then after you've had a humanizing moment where it's eye-to-eye, toe-to-toe, person-to-person, then you say, so now let's take a look at a few slides that will guide us through our hour together and help accomplish these goals. Then you simply back up to the audience left of the screen, turn the slides back on, and then you're off to the races with the slides. That's such a powerful, confident way to start, and it shows them that you can speak without reading the slide. Right? Mm-hmm. It shows that the message is in your heart. So then once you start using slides, there are, of course, some best practices. You want to face the audience and not read the slides. There's another guideline called the 6x6 rule. We break it. Every day we break this one, but to the degree we can keep it, it's highly recommended. 6x6 simply means that you have no more than 6 lines of copy on the slide. That will allow you to keep about a 28 to 30 point font. So no more than 6 lines of copy, no more than 6 words per line. And that makes it legible. The goal here with slides is legibility. If you get much smaller than that or much more text than that, it simply is too busy, too small to read. Avoid putting full sentences up there. Use phrases instead. That would be a third key point. So we want to face the audience, use 6x6. Avoid full sentences, put phrases instead. Use relevant photos. A picture is worth 1,000 words, so when you can use a photo versus text, that's always good. You want the background and the text color contrasted, so a white background with dark blue text, for example. You would not want to use a blue background with green text. You know, that would not be differentiated enough or clear enough. Also, from my executive surveys with decision-making audiences, they really dislike a lot of effects. PowerPoint or maybe some of the Mac programs, the graphics features, they have sort of effects that you can use, the tumbleweed, the window panes, the slice, the fly-ins, and that tends to look a little cartoonish to decision makers. So just using an animation effect of a peer or a quick fade works better than fancy effects. 7, I would say, is to limit each slide to 1 point. We don't want to pack too much on a slide. Also, omitting unnecessary sound effects is very important. For the senior-level decision-making audiences, I always like also showing organization via an agenda slide. Let's say you have 5 points that you want to cover. let's say you're doing a company overview or background, maybe three key products you're talking about, and then a fifth point might be next steps and call to action. Well, you could have that on an agenda slide. And between each of those key points, you simply show the agenda slide with a check mark to show where you are in the presentation. That's mm-hmm. very grounding and helpful, keeps people on track. I like also to use the simple sans serif font versus the fancy curly Q fonts, obviously using initial caps versus lowercase, just sentence structure in the text. And then an interesting guideline that's recently come out is called the 10-20-30 rule. It's kind of ubiquitous now in PowerPoint world. And 10-20-30 rule says that particularly for decision-making audiences, you want to use no more than 10 slides. Busy senior-level decision-making audiences really do not have the bandwidth in their mind, given their task-saturated jobs, for more than 10 slides. So use no more than 10 slides, speak no more than 20 minutes, and use a 30-point font for legibility. That is a best practice. That, interestingly, has been shown to work very well with investor groups needing to look at an idea and make a quick decision on whether to fund it or not. So 10 slides, speak 20 minutes, and use a 30-point font. That's a very safe guideline. If you don't know what else to do with PowerPoint, just do that, and you'll be well on your way to a great slide presentation.
Well, this is, I think, extremely good information, even for someone that might be doing presentations, maybe not necessarily at a corporation, but if you're engaged in any kind of work where you must communicate effectively and well with people, because we all have to sell ourselves. And this is something, it took me a long time to learn this. And when you are aware of the fact that how you present yourself, how you dress, how you stand, how you use your voice, and the voice is a magnificent instrument that you can utilize so well. You bring up the points of difference in how to present yourself professionally, whether, you know, female presentation effect in dress, and also male. And I think this is important because we have gotten, in my view, in many instances, very sloppy. And I am consistently surprised whenever I do programs when people will say, oh, you're so well-dressed. And I'll go, well, wouldn't I be? I'm really surprised. And this is something where they will say, we don't have people like you show up to speak before our group. And I go, this is a sad statement, because too many people are not aware that how they present themselves makes a statement of how people are going to perceive them. And this is, it's so very, very important. You also go in to something that's really hot right now, and we're not going to have time to cover it, webinars. You go into how to use email effectively in your communications on a professional level. And so many of the people that I know that listen to the show, they're in web-based businesses or they're wanting to grow and expand the business. You address this so well because it is all about communication. It is about communicating with people. It is sharing the best of yourself in the best way possible. Darlene Price, your book, Well Said, about presentations and conversations that get results, I think is so superb. It would fit
Thank
into
you,
anyone's
Donna.
Library that wants to do better. And your website is wellsaid.com. So for those of you listening, let's say you're exploring doing a webinar or you're wanting to test market, you know, do a market survey, a market test of some kind. This is going to assist you greatly. We all can learn. There are so many things that I learned in reading her book, and I'm going to go back and review it because communication is my business. It's all of our business. If you can't communicate effectively, you are not going to be heard. So step up, go out, invest in the book Well Said, Darlene Price has been my guest. Her website, wellsaid.com. Darlene, we're out of time. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. Your book is a tremendous asset. It should be in every business school in the United States.
Donna, thank you, and many thanks to our listeners tuned in today. And I've got the website has videos, free videos to watch on eye contact, managing fears, conquering nerves, facial expressions, all the nonverbal aspect. There are some great free resources on the website that I welcome everyone to go and take advantage of that as well. But it's been a privilege being on the show, and I'll come back anytime. And best wishes to you and our listeners for continued success. And thank you again for your work on personal empowerment.
You are more than welcome, Darlene. It's been a pleasure. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Don't go away. We've got more good things to share. We're going to be right back.
Have you ever had a paranormal experience, such as seeing a ghost, having precognitive dreams, out-of-body experiences, or other happenings? If so, Donna would like to hear from you. She's putting together a book of 100 stories from people who would like to tell their story. If you'd like to submit yours, send an email to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. Again, send your story to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. Be sure to include your contact information as well. Thank you.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, Donna at DelphiInternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are now open, 888-627-6008. If you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, 888-627-6008. I want to say, Leah, in the show today, I'd love to share a recipe with you for dogs. That's right. We are going to have a recipe for dog biscuits, crunchies. You know, we always, as individuals, love our snacks, and I find that our four-pawed friends are not any different. And with Victor, my little Scotty, he loves certain crunchies and things that are an extra treat for him. And I have got some wonderful recipes by a Dr. Pitt Cairns, and they're nutritional, they're healthy, and you're not going to have to worry about something having come in from China that's tainted. So I'm going to be sharing that with you in a few minutes. You might want to get a pad of paper and a pen. But before I do that, I had promised that I would finish a story I started earlier this week, and we ran out of time. And it was about synchronicity and how life flows. And so many times when we think that something is impossible, the connection happens, and the impossible becomes possible. And this is a fun story. It is about a friend of mine named Gail. So for those of you that heard me talking about part of this earlier this week, and again, I wasn't able to finish it, please bear with me because I will give you the whole story. But what happened is that Gail, she's been a friend of mine for so many years. She has an older sister. Sister's quite a bit older than she is. And her sister was turning 80, and they wanted to have a very, very special birthday for her because this is a milestone. She's turning 80 years old. She's a very, very active lady, and they wanted to do something special. So they decided the theme of diamonds and mink were going to be the theme for her birthday party. Well, what Gail and her daughter did, they went out and got some faux fur, and they made a mock mink stole for her sister. And then Gail and I were having a conversation about this, and Gail said, I would love to find a large piece of costume jewelry that's so terribly gaudy, that's all crystals, that looks like diamonds. She said, but I just don't know. I've been looking and looking and looking, and I haven't found anything. So we were having this conversation, and I said, well, I've got this new friend that has just opened up a consignment store. I'll stop by after I do my errands, my business errands, and see what she has, because I have seen some real unique pieces in there. And she said, oh, that sounds wonderful. And I said, if I find something, I'll let you know. So I go out, I'm doing my errands, I stop off at this store called Repurpose Wear. And Renata is the owner, and Renata calls it upscale thrift store. And it really is upscale. She just has the most beautiful items, and some of the items are put on consignment, but a lot of it's donated to her. And I go into the store. Now, the door was wide open at the store, but I learned it was closed. Renata comes out, and her husband is there. I was introduced to him. And she says, Donna, the store's closed. I said, oh, my goodness, your door was open. She said, yes, because we're rearranging things. We're bringing some new inventory in. But what is it you need? And her husband spoke up. He said, what are you looking for? Let me help you. Renata's busy. I'll help you. I said, okay. I told him what I was looking for. I said, I'm looking for a large piece of rhinestone jewelry that looks like diamonds, and it needs to be big and gaudy. And he looks at me, and he said, I've got just a thing, just a minute. And Renata looked at me, she said, I have no idea what he's going to go get. Well, he brings out this box that is about 3 inches square. And she brings out this box, it's black. He said, do you think this might do? I take off the lid, and here is one of the gaudiest, brightest, circularly shaped pins you could ever imagine. It is rhinestone blitz, like you wouldn't believe. I had my handy-dandy cell phone, like we all carry around. I called my girlfriend, Gail. I said, this is what I've got, and I knew Gail was on a budget. I asked the husband, I said, what is the price on this? He said, oh, $15. So I said, that's marvelous. She said, that's perfect. $15. Here's this huge pin. Well, after I hang up, Gail says, go ahead and buy it. I will reimburse you. And I said, that's fine. I'm not worried about being reimbursed. I said, this is really going to be absolutely wonderful for your sister. Huge, gaudy, and gorgeous. Well, I learned something, and this was an extra gift that came with this pin. It had come out of someone's estate. In the box was a note that this had been a pin that was the exact design of a pin that was made of real diamonds given to Jacqueline Kennedy after her husband became the President of the United States, and she wore it at a particular function. And there are some photos with this particular pin being shown. It was a powerfully large and very dramatic piece. Well, here we had this information on the pin, which gave it a historical perspective. And not only that, it came in the original box. It was a specific designer that had designed this exquisite pin for Jacqueline and Kennedy. So I got all the information, put it all together, went out in the mail that afternoon. And when I called Gail, I said, you're going to find something very special here. Well, the ironic patterning of this is that her sister, when she was gifted this, her sister loves antique jewelry. She had been given a gift, totally unexpected, that was a massive brooch simulating diamonds, but there was a history related to Jacqueline Kennedy. She could relate to this. She was thrilled. Her birthday was exceptional. Now, the reason I share this is because there was a magic, there was a synchronicity that was going on. I would never have stopped at Renata's store. Renata's store was, the door was open. I walk in. Her husband knows something that Renata doesn't know about a piece of inventory that comes in. Not only is a sale made, but we have all of this other historical information that goes with it. And I find that Gail's sister loves history and antiques. All of these rhythms of synchronicity were intriguing to me at the moment that they occurred, and Gail and I still laugh about one of the gaudiest rhinestone pins we've ever seen that ended up being such a special gift for a sister that in a million years the likelihood of her even finding something like this is a gazillion to one. But it happened, and it was in just in complete harmony. Everything just worked out fine. That is how life often evolves. But how many times do we pay attention? How many times are we mindful of these things? I love stories like this, where seemingly the impossible becomes the possible. And it can happen at so many levels in life. So the reason I'm wanting to share this with you is because I want you to know that just as my guest today said, every single person comes into this world with something special to offer. And you are talented, you are gifted. And if you're going through moments right now where maybe you're doubting who you are, maybe you think life stinks, maybe you have had a lot of grief. There's all kinds of things that can slam us hard. I mean, they can just give us a whammy that we just wonder if we can get up and breathe. But the reality is that those experiences are meant often to bring out of us what we really have. And many times what we need to do is ask. Or let people know about a need. Just like my girlfriend told me, I'm looking for this. I don't know. I can't find anything. I'm just not finding anything. I said, oh, let me look. Now, someone may say, oh, Donna, you've just got that magic touch. Maybe and maybe not. But if you don't ask, there's also the adage, you don't get. And that was a very hard lesson for me to learn. I don't know about you. But many times I was told, well, just suck it up, kid. You can't figure it out, nobody's going to figure it out. Boy, is that a wrong attitude. We can't know everything, and we can't see everything. But if we let people know around us what our needs are, many times they'll have suggestions. Now, you can be one of those that turns away from suggestions. That is your option, too. But if you're open to suggestions and you're open to letting people know that there are things that you need, things that you want to find out about, how do I do this? How do I learn? By golly, you're going to get those answers. And who knows? You may end up, like Gail's sister, with more than just something gaudy. You're going to end up with a story and a piece of history, something that you'll be able to share with other people that you meet as well. Remember, life is a gift. And oh my goodness, it's always there ready to be unwrapped. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Phone lines are open. Let me share my gift with you, and that is the gift of perception. Give me a call at 888-627-6008. Donna Sebo here. We're going to be right back.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Have you ever had a paranormal experience, such as seeing a ghost, having precognitive dreams, out-of-body experiences, or other happenings? If so, Donna would like to hear from you. She's putting together a book of 100 stories from people who would like to tell their story. If you'd like to submit yours, send an email to donna@delphiinternational.com. Again, send your story to donna@delphiinternational.com. Be sure to include your contact information as well. Thank you.
Hi, this is Donna, and give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-627-6008. Now, tomorrow, we're going to be talking with Beverly Flaxington, talking about how you make your shift. Now, this is something that you can apply to various areas of your life, but if you're like so many people today, maybe professionally, you're going to have to make a shift. And how do you do it? How do you assess yourself and your environment so you can make a shift that's going to work for you? And believe me, I am seeing this in so many arenas of not just professional experience, but also personal experience. And then Friday is going to be an open mic day. My guest that was scheduled for Friday had something come up, and so we are going to have my guest on in the following month. So we've got that coming up. We've got so much more. And if you want to check about who is coming up on the Donna Sebo Show, hit the show information button, and you'll find a listing of the upcoming guests, the date that they're appearing, and a little bit of a brief write-up about them as well. Okay. Our four-pawed furry friends. You'll notice I said that slowly because I never would have gotten that out if I had to say it fast. But this is a recipe, and in the coming weeks I'll share some others with you. But if you have a dog, if you have a cat, this is a recipe for a crunchy that they really like. Now, cats have to have meat. Dogs have to have meat. And I know many, many people say, well, they're vegetarians. I've made them a vegetarian. I've got some recipes for that. But it's been my experience, especially with terriers, and we were dog-sitting a delightful little West Highland terrier this past weekend. Oh, was she a personality? Well, she was really happy in her environment because I cook all of the food for my Scotties. And she was able to have that instead of kibble, and it was really funny because she found she just loves chicken gizzards and chicken liver and all of this stuff. But here's some crunchies that you can make up. And this is a recipe that a Dr. Pitt Caron, who is a veterinarian, he has written a number of books, that he said this is homemade. They really is equivalent of the food that you would buy in the store, better. And if you don't want artificial additives, if you want to be sure that you've got the quality of meat that you want your animal to get, by golly, this is something for you to consider. So this is what it takes. Now, it's 1 pound of ground chicken necks and gizzards, or any other meat that you want to use. 1 pound of ground chicken necks and gizzards. And by the way, for those of you that might be concerned about grinding up the neck bones, you can give them raw to dogs. They won't choke on them. It won't get stuck in their throat. And I've known so many people that when they can have neck bones, and believe it or not, they're hard to find. You used to be able to buy them easily at your butcher. They were considered throwaway. Not anymore. Not anymore. They're actually like $4 a pound, and some places even higher. But if you give a dog frozen chicken necks, it's great. But if you grind it all up, it's going to be just fabulous. You need one can of chopped mackerel, you can buy that in your grocery store, 2 cups of full-fat soy flour, not fat-free. You don't want fat-free for animals. 2 cups of whole wheat flour, 1 cup of rye flour, 1 cup of cornmeal, 1 cup of wheat germ, 1 cup of non-fat milk. So you've got those ingredients, and you need 1/4 cup of alfalfa powder, 3 tablespoons of bone meal or 2 tablespoons of dicalcium phosphate, 1 tablespoon of sea salt or 2 tablespoons of kelp powder, 4 tablespoons of oil or fat, 1 tablespoon cod liver oil, 3 cloves of garlic, you mince that up, 400 units of vitamin E. This next ingredient is optional, 1/2 cup of onion. Now, there's different opinions on it. My dog doesn't like onion, so I would eliminate it. 1/2 cup of chopped onion, optional, 1 quart of water, and 1/2 cup of nutritional yeast. So those are the ingredients. Now, what you do, you mix all of the ingredients except the yeast, and this is going to make a very, very firm dough. Now, you spread it flat on a cookie sheet, and you're going to press it or roll it out to 1/4 inch to 1/8 inch thickness, and then you're going to put it in the oven, baking it at 350 degrees for 30 to 45 minutes. You want to let it cool in the pan, and then you're going to break it up into bite-sized chunks, and you want to sprinkle the yeast over it. Now, with cats, you might want to cut the dough into little tiny squares or ribbons before you bake it so you can make it small. If you've got a little person in the way of a dog, just a little fur person, then you want to do the same thing. You want them small. Now, you can store these in airtight containers. It'll keep 2 to 3 days without refrigeration, longer if you keep it in the refrigerator. And you can supplement this with a bit of fresh food, you know, raw meat scraps, chopped vegetables, if you're going to feed this on a regular basis. But this is nutritionally packed for your animals. So this is something that when I was thinking about sharing a recipe today, I thought, why not do it for our 4-pod friends, cats or dogs. And this is the recipe that Dr. Pitcairn recommends. And I've got some others, low-cost doggy crunchies, you know, different things. But remember, nutrition is just as important to the animals as, and we're a part of the animal kingdom. You know, let's get real here. We have to pay attention to our nutrition. And so with our little friends, we need to do the same thing. A couple of tips, and I know we've got a little bit of time left here. There is a suggestion that is shared that when you are out and about, and if you're on a budget, and you have a tendency to spend more than what you plan, someone made the suggestion that be aware when you go into an in-store cafe with free Wi-Fi or complimentary product samplers, samples, you know, all these little enticing tidbits where it's going to make us very relaxed, very comfortable. People end up spending more than 15% more than what they had anticipated they do. Why? When you shop, when you're in any of these cafes, you are so relaxed, you view your environment around you and the items that are in it as very, very special, maybe even more valuable, so you're willing to spend more. So to avoid overspending, simply decide how much you want to spend before you enter the store and stick to your limit. It is really very important for us to understand marketing, and nothing wrong with marketing. We all market, but if you are trying to conserve your pennies and dollars, just be aware, go with a certain amount and say, this is it, this is my max, and be comfortable, enjoy the beautiful environment, but you won't spend more than you have to. This is Donna Siebel. My goodness, we're out of time. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. It's been delightful having you join me today. Won't you do it again tomorrow so you can decide how you want to shift your life in your way and in your manner? I think it's powerful stuff. After all, you are part of this magnificent experience we call life. And with that kind of awareness, hey, you're a winner. go for it. This is Donna Sebo. Have a magnificent day or evening wherever you might be. We'll be back tomorrow. Same time, same place. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.